by.
Good day, and welcome to the IBM Storage Talk, the inside scoop on Tivoli Storage Manager 6 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ms. Tricia Zhang. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to today's Inside Scoop. What I'm going to be covering today is what's going on with TSM6, what your customers can expect with TSM6, and some of the launch plans that we have going on around TSM6. In addition, we'll look at some of the FUD that your competitors might be whispering into your customers' ears and how you can counteract that FUD. Today's meeting is a webcast. If you are not on the actual webcast, the information to link into that is in the calendar button for the IBMers and is on Partner World for our partners. We will be posting a portion of these slides, but the entire presentation, because it's IBM Confidential, we can only post that individual section. Okay, and we do have a whole panel of people standing by to answer questions. We have Colin Dawson from Development. We've got Product Management. We've got Sydney White from Education. And we've got myself and Danita Morrison from Enablement. So with that, let's start off with some of the great feedback we're receiving from our TSM6 beta customers. As you know, TSM6 has been a much anticipated release because it brings so much great new functionality to the table. And with that in mind, our beta customers have been testing out some of this new functionality, and the reactions we're getting from them talk about the stability of the product. It talks about how very fast and surprisingly smooth the upgrade process is from going from the proprietary to the DB2 database. It talks about how user-friendly the new administrator interfaces are, as well as the reporting. And it talks about what a solid product TSM6 is in general. And so I'm going to walk you through some of that functionality. This is a very high-level walkthrough. We will be having additional Tivoli talks to take you in more depth closer to GA. So the biggest piece out the door for TSM6 was upgrading our proprietary database to a DB2 database. Now, as you know, the database for TSM is kind of the heart and soul of our product, and it really gives us a competitive advantage in the fact that it enables us to do things like hierarchical management, where we can migrate from one type of storage to another, progressive backup, expiration, all kinds of very useful features that increase the customer's return on investment. Well, with this upgrade to a DB2 database, we're taking our competitive edge a step further, and we're really leapfrogging our competition, who are still in the dark ages using flat files or using bolted-on databases, by taking the DB2 database and integrating it with our TSM product, just as our proprietary database is currently integrated. So one of the first benefits you'll see with TSM6 is the simplified deployment. And this starts with the Tivoli Storage Manager 6 dedupe functions. Now, we'll talk about this more in a minute, but the nice thing about this is that with TSM6 having being able to manage more data in disk storage pools, which are dev-type file, we'll be able to provide the end user faster restoration of their files that are residing on those disk storage pools. And obviously with dedupe in play, we can store more of that data in the same amount of existing disk storage. The installation of our admin center has become much simpler. We see it installing at about half the time and requiring half the disk in memory. And this applies to the ISC and admin center that sits on top of that. With this also comes the ability to install a new reporting and monitoring feature, which is going to give the customers the ability to do real-time monitoring on things like scheduled client activity, errors, backup stats, as well as being able to take these and customize them to meet their needs. We'll also have pre-configured, customizable, out-of-the-box reports that tell you things like restore histories, server throughput, disk and file usage, tape errors, and so forth. Now, all of this great technology, this reporting and monitoring technology, is going to be shipped with TSM6. There will be no additional charge, and it's based upon the BERT technology, which comes from other sections of Tivoli. And what you'll see, first of all, is that TSM, multiple servers, can be feeding into this reporting structure, and we'll be reporting on those. And eventually you'll have various products from inside your IT center, different storage products and other IBM products, feeding into the same reporting structure. So you'll be able to get reports across the IT center. TSM6 also brings about simplified database administration. We will be updating the TSM administrator interface so that it's more user-friendly, so that you get great features like instant automatic insertion of information when you're doing things like defining nodes. You will have the ability to maneuver in and out of the admin center a lot better. You'll get this hover over activity where the information about different messages and all will automatically pop up. Now, we'll also be taking advantage of a lot of the anatomic capabilities that are built into DB2. These include things like self-tuning database buffers. It includes the ability to do online database reorganization so that you no longer have to take the TSM database offline or server, you don't have to shut it down in order to do a reorg. And it'll include more validity checks and error checking before the data is inserted into the DB2 database. Now, I want to reiterate, when DB2 it becomes the, when you upgrade to a DB2 database, that database is going to be installed with the TSM6 code. It's going to be underneath the covers, so your admins do not have to be DB2 administrators. And all of the normal types of updates and management that TSM automatically does with its proprietary database will also occur with your DB2 database. All of your SQL queries that are currently your customers might have written, those will still be valid against the table spaces in the new DB2 database. When we look at scalability, that's one area that DB2 really shines. The internal database size will increase, be able to scale up from 512 gigabytes to a size of 1 terabyte plus. Now, we put the plus there because our labs are committed to testing up to 1 terabyte. However, DB2 in reality has no limitation, so you're an individual instance of a TSM database could scale beyond 1 terabyte if a customer so chooses. So as you can imagine, now a customer will be able to manage more data from one TSM server. So they might be able to consolidate servers, or they might find themselves being able to have a more rapid growth pattern and accommodate that on their TSM server. Now, the recovery log itself, the recovery log is important because it kind of acts as a scratch pad. And before transactions are committed to the database, they're written in the scratch pad into the recovery log. And the new recovery log will also be able to scale up to 9 times larger than our current version. And so what this is going to give your customers is the ability to do more backups at the same time or larger backups at the same time. And so this will help reduce your backup window as well as increase throughput speeds for your nightly backups and restores as well. We'll also be scaling the size of the HSM managed file systems that we support, especially when we start looking at GPFS and some of those very large ones that have lots and lots of files, as well as in the NDMP area. I'll talk in a minute about how we'll be supporting larger NDMP file systems. And all of this really comes into play when you look at your users' environments and realize that, you know, a lot of users are implementing larger servers that have multiprocessor systems out there to run their daily functions. So gone are the days that you might have a whole bunch of individual servers, and now we see one big server running VMware and accommodating a lot of different applications out there. And so it really becomes necessary for TSM to be able to accommodate those types of backups off of those large servers. Okay, performance. This, too, you're going to see improvements in. When it comes to backup and restore, our performance group is reporting up to 50% greater improvement in throughput on both your backups and restores. What this means is reduced backup windows, and it also means improved recovery times. Once again, this is in a large part due to the ability to scale your recovery log larger, but it's also due to performance enhancements that have been coded in. Now, active data pools were introduced a couple releases ago to enable customers to store just the most recent version of a file, and this becomes particularly pertinent when we start talking about disaster recovery. And so a lot of customers have implemented active data pools to be their DR pool. So now we keep just the most recent versions of these files for the offsite copy. However, up until release 6, these weren't integrated with our disaster recovery manager planning tools. And so in TSM 6, we will coordinate those so you can track, manage, and recycle those active data pools as required by the policies. Another nice area that I was just on a customer call, and one of the things they were complaining about was the time it took for expiration. Well, in TSM 6, you'll see up to a 50% improvement in expiration processing. And we'll also offer you a more granular way that you can run expiration. You'll now be able to run it against a particular node or node groups or nodes belonging to a specific domain. And so this will enable customers to target expiration against individual objects if they just have a short window in which to run that in. Okay, data reduction. This has been a hot topic in the news lately, and the good news is TSM has always been very conservative about the amount of data that we send to the TSM server to protect. If you look at our progressive backup, we only send new or changed files. Our competition, on the other hand, is constantly having to do full backups that are very wasteful and very space-consuming. So to our competition, data reduction became a very hot topic, especially in the concept of dedupe, because they have these wasteful full backups. Well, with TSM, we've always been frugal about the amount of data we send, but we do realize that there is still additional ability to reduce that amount of data that's stored by using dedupe. And so in TSM 6, we're going to introduce a server-side out-of-band dedupe on the TSM disk storage pools of DevClass file. All data can be deduped, whether it's backup, archive, space management, whatever type of data is sitting in that disk storage pool is candidate to dedupe. Now, some customers have asked, well, didn't you buy this company called Diligent, and what about their ProtectTier gateway? Is that the same solution? No. Diligent is a separate solution that you would have to pay for, and they offer a VTL, virtual tape library, that can work with TSM. You could implement it as a storage pool, but that is different from what we're talking about with our native TSM 6 dedupe. Now, our native TSM 6 dedupe is actual dedupe. We're deduping at the block and chunk level. And anything that is in this storage pool that has dedupe turned on, it's simply an option that your customers can set, will be candidate. Whether it was backed up 6 years ago or 6 hours ago, it's candidate for dedupe if it goes to this particular storage pool. Now, if that storage pool is migrated to tape, we will reconstitute that file. We do not want dedupe data on tape because that would slow down and require more mounts and more positioning in order to restore that data. So with disk storage, the dedupe occurs after the backups are complete, and it is done on the TSM server side. Another area that we're really scaling to meet, and that's actually very exciting because we're first to market with this, is the integration of TSM with the NetApp SnapDiff API. As you know, we have supported NDMP backups for quite a while for NAS devices. But with TSM 6, we bring to the table the capability to do kind of like a journal-based backup on NDMP. Remember, journal-based backup we support on Windows and AIX and other client platforms. And what that does is it keeps a journal of the changed files. So when we go to do the backup, we just check the journal. We don't have to scan the file systems to find the changed files. Well, NDMP is also keeping a journal. And so that means that when we go to do this NDMP backup, we can just look at that piece and say, oh, here's what needs to be backed up. We don't have to scan the file systems. There's less impact, less overhead, and a more rapid backup. Now, we also are introducing another feature called SnapMirror to tape integration. And this is a really great way to do full file system backups to tape. And this is very useful for the NetApp's disaster recovery capability. So we got two new enhancements in our NDMP offerings. And remember, NDMP is offered with TSM Extended Edition at no extra charge. Another hot topic is VMware. We have been doing VMware backups. We have introduced the capability to use VCB to back up these VMware instances, and currently it's backing up at a individual file level using progressive backup. What we're introducing in TSM 6 is the ability to do a full image backup of the virtual machines. So now I can do a full image snapshot of these virtual machines, which is, once again, very useful for disaster recovery purposes. It is possible to do an individual file restore from these from this image backup. However, you would be using the VCB tools to do that, not TSM directly. So in order to take this image backup, it is with TSM. It's fully integrated. But if you did want to go one step further and do just an individual file level restore from a full backup, it would be full image backup. You'd use VCB tools. On the client side, we're also introducing the ability to restore individual objects from Windows Active Directory. On the Windows 2008 Active Directory environment, we can do restorations of individual groups or individuals or groups that might have been accidentally deleted from the Active Directory. Now, this capability to restore the Active Directory will be integrated directly with your normal TSM client interface where you do your restore. You'll see it in the restore tree view. We are leveraging Microsoft APIs behind Microsoft interfaces behind the covers. You also hear this sometimes called undeletion or reanimation of objects from the Active Directory tombstone. Okay, GPFS. We have GPFS support out there with more and more companies adapting the GPFS file system. We've now moved to be able to utilize GPFS for storage pools and thus provide some LAN-free access out there as well. So you'll see that many customers who have GPFS installed will now start using these storage pools and implementing this LAN-free access via SANs. So this is going to help both with your recovery point objective and your recovery time objective in GPFS environments. So that's a brief overview of some of the new features in the TSM client and TSM server. Now, the rest of the TSM family of products is also getting new features. For instance, in our TSM manager for mail, you'll see granular item-level recovery, which has been asked for a long time. Now, remember, we also offer that in Fastback. Now we're bringing it to the table in TSM for mail as well. In our TSM Manager HSM for Windows, we're introducing the ability to do threshold migration similar to what we already have in our Unix product. So if I'm out there and I see that my file systems have filled up to, say, 80%, it will automatically migrate files off until you hit, say, 75% if you have HSM for Windows installed. For the TSM Manager for Advanced Copy Services, we're enhancing the Oracle snapshot support. And for the TSM for Copy Services, we're improving our support for SAP and IBM SAM volume controllers. With the TSM Manager 6 for Space Management, we will do tighter integration with GPFS. Currently, we do have a GPS support out there, but we're just integrating that even tighter. For your customers who are using Fastback, even though Fastback isn't directly TSM, some customers are integrating the two together. And with the Fastback version 5.2.2, which is going to GA here in December, we will have Windows Server 2008 and cluster service support. For the most part, our pricing is staying the same with TSM 6, but we are introducing the ability to do subcapacity pricing for VMware. As you know, you can already do a special bid for subcapacity pricing for normal TSM, but in TSM 6, we will have the ability with VMware to be able to license down to an individual core. So if you have these customers with these multi-core machines, they can now choose just to license a specific instance or such. We are having an individual Tivoli talk on this in January to cover all the ins and outs of this, so make sure you watch your alerts for information about an upcoming talk on this subject. Okay, slide 17 is just a quick hit on what I've already covered about the value props. We will be sending out, we're working currently on both customers and sales and technical presentations for TSM 6, so you'll see those rolling out here soon, and these value props will definitely be involved in that. Well, when are we going to be announcing and GAing? We're looking at announcing and GAing around the time of Pulse, which is in February. So we're working towards announce at Pulse, but we're still busy doing a lot of things behind the scenes. For instance, we've got our beta program currently running. We've got analyst briefings going on. We've got these types of Tivoli talks that we're ramping up, and I'll show you a list of more to come. We've got press releases that are being written. We've got presentations being developed. And we've got a roadshow that we're working on. So let's take a look at a little more detail on that. These are some of the Tivoli talks you'll see coming up. Currently, we're doing the Inside Scoop. We will then be looking at a high-level Tivoli talk, which will be for the sales folks, and then a technical Tivoli talk on TSM6, which will be more of a deep dive. We'll then even have a deeper dive where we do some chalk talks where we actually have developers online to answer your questions, and we'll break those out into big subcategories like dedup or database upgrade or reporting and monitoring. And you'll be able to get on in after kind of a brief overview of those options and new features, we'll then turn it over to a Q&A session. We will be updating our distance learning, so we'll have new TSM6 modules there for both the customers and, for both the business partners and the internal IBMers. And, of course, you'll see more information being filtered out to Extreme Leverage and the partner websites as well. Now, we are planning a worldwide roadshow. It'll be a 3-day event as it stands currently. The first day will be for STG, and they'll be going into a lot of their information on cars and other areas. Day two will start off at a higher-level sales updates for SVC, TPC, TKLM, Fastback and TSM integration, dedup, sales tools, TBMR, which is coming from Christy. We'll be talking about how you'll be able to resell that, and then, of course, TSM6.1. Day three will be the more technical day where we'll give a technical overview of TSM6.1, and then you'll be able to work on a hands-on lab that Cyrus Nielsen and Dan Thompson are putting together. This is a very, very tentative plan of where we'll be going. Keep an eye on the alerts. We're coming out with all kinds of dates. Those are a little bit in flux right now, but it will be coming to a city near you soon. External Education is also busy updating their courses for the customers. They will have a new Tivoli Storage Manager 6.1 introduction, and then they'll be updating their implementation administration, their advanced administration tuning and troubleshooting, and then they'll have the differences in upgrade course as well. Now, when it comes to external education for the customer, it's offered in two formats. The first is an on-site class. The other one is a remote instructor-led web-based class. And we do have Sydney White on our Q&A panel today, and she'll be able to answer any questions you might have on these classes. Okay, you'll also see some demos coming out, as well as a Red Book. So keep an eye if you're interested in doing a stay for the Red Book. That information will be coming out soon, too, in alerts. Okay, service offerings. Yes, if customers want help doing the upgrade, we will have offerings out there. The Tivoli itself will have a Tivoli Storage Manager upgrade migration offering, as well as their normal Quick Start and Health Check. Global Services is looking at doing a upgrade offering. And many, many business partners are also have been part of our beta program and are getting their own service offerings ready to go out the door. With that said, let's look at what's involved in the actual database upgrade. First and foremost, customers can do this themselves. I repeat, customers can do the upgrade themselves. There's an entire manual being written on this that they can go through and follow. It contains worksheets and step-by-step pieces, and we've got an upgrade wizard that basically does the upgrade. So what I'm going to walk through right now is the three steps that'll end up with a seamless upgrade. Remember, when we're talking about an upgrade, we're basically taking your existing TSM database and we're extracting the information and importing it and then inserting it into a new DB2 database. All of your information is coming across. We're talking about the meta information for policies, for schedules, for where on the tape that particular file sits, for your passwords. All of that stuff is going to be migrated from your TSM5 up to TSM6. This is not a rip and replace. Your customers do not have to redefine schedules or anything else as they upgrade. So we'll look at what upgrade method works best for customers. We've got a couple available. And then I'll talk about some of the preparation steps that the customer should be taking to prepare themselves for the upgrade. And then finally, I'll give you a look at what the wizard looks like and what it does. So when it comes to the upgrade, basically, like I said, we're taking an existing database, we've got to extract it, and then we've got to insert it into the new DB2 database. With this said, there's a couple ways you can do it. You can either extract the information directly to a disk or tape and then insert it into a new machine, or you could extract it and push it across to a database via the network. So we can either do a disk or tape extraction, or we can do a network extraction insertion. Okay, so when we talk about this upgrade, you can also do it to the existing TSM server, the same hardware, same operating system, or customers may choose to move on up and extract and insert into a new piece of hardware, a new server. And we're going to look at those different methods here. So in the first example, this is an upgrade in place where we're extracting to external media. Now on the side, I've numbered the steps that the wizard is going to be doing in the background. And so basically the wizard takes your existing database, it runs the DSM upgrade prepare DB command against it, and then it does a DSM upgrade extract DB. And at this point, the existing database would be extracted either to disk or tape. Then the wizard kicks off and installs the actual TSM6.1 code, and it runs the DSM serve load format and the DSM serve insert DB manifest command. Voila, you're up and running. Now, if a customer was deciding, you know, instead I really want, this is a great opportunity to move this over to the latest and greatest X series or P series or whatever else, great, we can accommodate that too. As long as you're upgrading from the same operating system platform to the same operating system platform, that's fine. You cannot do like AIX original and then have your target be Windows. That won't work. The one exception is when you're doing HP, if you went from an HP PA RIS system, you could upgrade to an HP IA64 system. That's the only exception. So as you can see in this case, the steps are exactly the same. It just happens that your target server is a new hardware operating system machine. Okay, well, what if I want to use the network? No problem. The steps will be a little bit different via the wizard. As you can see, the order has been rearranged, but the end result is the same. And instead of having to use disk or media, it's been done via the internal network on your server. Now, if you wanted to go to a new machine, same steps, but your target server just changes. So why would you go to a new machine? What are some of the considerations for doing dump to disk versus going across the network? This table kind of outlines this, and I copied this directly out of the TSM upgrade manual that your customers will have access to. But basically we're looking at, first of all, system hardware. Is your hardware fast enough? Are you happy with it? Or do you want to take the opportunity to pull in a new server? There are some additional resources needed when it comes to memory, as well as when you're doing the actual upgrades, you're going to have enough disk space to accommodate two databases coexisting, or to have a tape to dump it to or a disk to dump it to. Software. You know, if you're really down level on your software operating system, you may need to upgrade your operating system, or you may look and say, you know what, I want to move it to this new machine. So that would be another consideration. Now, if you do have multiple TSM servers running on the same machine, so you have multiple TSM server instances, one caveat is all of them have to be upgraded to 6.1 if they're on the same machine. Now, if you have just different TSM servers throughout your organization all running on their own server, that doesn't apply. This only applies to multiple TSM servers instances on the same machine. Okay. When you decide to move the database, if you do dump it out to disk or tape, then the new machine, if you go to a new target machine, it would have to be able to have access to that disk or tape. Likewise, if you go via network to a new machine, you've got to have a network connection. Okay. There is one other option. And this is very applicable if your customers have multiple TSM servers and they want to narrow it down and just have one TSM server in the end. What they can do is they can install a new TSM server on a new machine, have it at 6.1. They can then import and export any of the information they want across, any schedules, any groups, any clients, whatever, to the new TSM server. Then they can point their existing TSM clients at the new server. Now, the first time they run a backup, depending on how much data they've imported or export, that first backup might be a full backup, but if they've already exported a lot of the data, that won't even be applicable. And then we let the original data on the TSM server simply expire off, and all your new backups are going to your new TSM server. And then over the course of time, you may decide to run some more import-exports. So this is a great way for a couple factors. If you wanted to change operating systems, if you're currently running, for instance, Windows and you now want to use TSM on AIX, this would be a great way to do it. Or if you're trying to take multiple TSM servers and reduce it down to one. Okay, so we talked about the different methods they can choose from. Now let's look at some of the planning that goes in before we actually kick the wizard off. The first thing they'll have to do is the actual upgrade process when the wizard is running is going to be pretty system intensive. It's going to use a large percentage of the system processors, and it's going to be very I/O intensive on the disk. So they're going to need to do the upgrade at a time when there's not a lot of activity on the TSM server. Now, the TSM server does have to be shut down in order to do this import and export. So it also needs to be a time when they're not expecting backups to complete or they don't need any restores to happen. If they have the luxury of testing this on a non-production system, that will give them a great idea of how long it'll take, and if there's any gotchas or anything they didn't think of, it'll give them a test run there. If they have multiple TSM servers, encourage your customers to run one of the upgrades first and then maybe the next weekend to run the other ones. That way, once again, they can gain experience and apply that experience to the next upgrades. Now, if your customer does have a System Storage Archive Manager installed, which was also known as TSM for Data Retention, and which is also the code sitting inside of the DR550, there are a couple extra steps they need to take, including running what's called a repair expiration command. So do notify them to look through the upgrade manual for some special instructions on the System Storage Archive Manager servers. Okay, when it comes to sizing, your current proprietary database is going to consume about the same amount of space as your DB2 database. So if they currently have a 100 gigabit database, that's probably what they'll need for the DB2 database. Remember, we can scale bigger, but the initial amount of space will be the same. Same with recovery log. If they're running TSM5 in roll-forward mode, then the DB2 recovery log will also need about the same amount of space. But it can scale larger if they choose, up to 9 times larger. When we look at the amount of space requirements for the upgrade process, they will need a little bit extra disk space because they're going to be, depending on the methodology they choose, they might be actually having two databases coexist, the TSM5 and the TSM6, if they're doing a same server network upgrade. Or they need some disk space or tape space in order to be able to do the to extract the database out to disk or tape. Memory requirements, we recommend for TSM6, 4 gigabytes minimum, 8 gigabytes recommended of memory, so they should check and see what they've got on their machine. Once again, all of this is very well documented in a very well-written manual, which will be out on the pub library for the user to utilize. Okay, if they do have, when we start looking at clients, library managers, and storage agents, some of the considerations here is if you're using a library manager, upgrade it first, and then after that, upgrade the library clients. And the server, if you're running a TSM library client, it needs to at least be at version 5 dot something. It can't be back 5.2 or something. I would have it at least be 5.4 or 5.5 to work with the library server that's TSM 6.1. And that's the same with the storage agents. There is some back-level compatibility. They're testing, I think, back to like 5.5 and 5.4. When you upgrade the clients, the 5.4 clients will work with 6.1. You can also upgrade your clients first. If for some reason they wanted to, for instance, utilize the Active Directory restore features, they could upgrade their TSM clients first and have TSM 6.1 clients running with the TSM 5 server. That's not a problem. Okay, the million-dollar question. How long is it going to take? Our test labs are seeing about 13 gigabytes per hour as the amount of time it takes to do the reloads, the extraction, the reload onto the same system. Your network extract is going to be a little bit faster, but obviously it requires a little more hardware. The process is very, very dependent upon the disk subsystem. That's where you're going to get your big fluctuations in upgrade time. So where did we get this 13 gigabytes per hour? Here is the chart. And as you can see from here, we basically had a Windows 2000 X64 Enterprise Edition, 16-way, 2.9 gigahertz, running TSM 5.5.2. If you look at this chart, take a peek at the we have two examples here. We have an extract to file and an extract to LTO. And if you look at the disk usage, you'll see it peaking out at 89% when it's doing the insert from file or insert from LTO. So disk usage as well as your CPU utilization on the extract will be kind of high. The way that we came up with 13 gigabytes per hour was we took the total used database space, that's just used. They may have extra space allocated that's not utilized. It's just the used database space, and divided that by the combination of the extract to B and insert to B time. Okay, so what does the wizard look like? Here's a screenshot. As you can see, it's very straightforward. It will accommodate the different upgrade methods, and it'll walk. It'll go through the extract and the create the new instance and load the new database all for you. And if you look under the covers, basically the steps it's taking is preparing for the upgrade, installing the server, installing the upgrade utilities, upgrading the server, starting the server, registering the license, verifying the upgrade, and then doing any automation around that. And, of course, it accommodates the different methodologies of are you extracting the same server, are you extracting it to tape, are you doing a network, what are you doing? Okay, so as you can see, the database upgrade is very straightforward. As you heard from our beta customers, it's very reliable and very smooth. It's something that customers can do by themselves. There are services available if they choose. Our competitors would have our customers believe quite different from this. As you can imagine, our competitors would love to use this as an opportunity to get TSM out the door and get their product in the door. And so they're creating all kinds of fear, uncertainty, and doubt about this new release. And so I've listed out some of the things we've been hearing and the response to that. So let's walk through that. First of all, customers will have to become DB2 administrators. This is not true. Once again, DB2 is under the covers. It's installed with TSM. You could use some of the DB2 monitoring tools and all that are out there if they're already DB2 administrators, but it's not required at all. This upgrade will be time-consuming. Once again, false. When we look at upgrading a medium-sized 65-gigabyte TSM server, that would complete in around 5 hours. And if you took a large 150-gigabyte server, that would only take around 12 hours, once again, depending on the type of disk subsystem that it's running on. This upgrade will be error-prone. Very, very untrue. One of the high priorities that the developer set when they went about this upgrade was to make sure that it was not error-prone, that it was very accurate, and that it pulled customers' data across. And what you'll actually find with the upgrade is it actually has a lot of integrity checks pulled in that can actually fix some of the issues that customers might have had in their current database that they hadn't run a reorg on. Okay, DB2 will require more resources to run than a previous database. As explained previously, this is not true. The upgrade process will require a little bit of extra disk temporarily, but that's only for the upgrade time. You'll have to re-architect everything and start over. Once again, not true. This is not a rip and replace. This is an upgrade. We will take all of the existing meta information about schedules, data, where the data resides, and we will migrate that meta information to the DB2 database. All of your storage pools stay intact. We're not touching the actual backed up or archived data. Okay, this upgrade will require an expensive service engagement. False. Yes, there are service engagements available if the customer chooses, but customers can also do these upgrades themselves. Okay, the next one is on the dedupe, and this is a cut and paste from an actual email I received, and I will read it to you because I think it's pretty funny. It is not dedupe, and it's only being called that to capitalize on dedupe being hot, and you know that you know what free means. IBM would not have bought Diligent if they had their own dedupe coming out in TSM. It is only single-instance storage. Plus, with the size of data Ed was talking about, it'll kill any app-based dedupe. Every single line in here is false. First of all, TSM 6 dedupe is server-side, out-of-band, block-level dedupe of disk storage pools. It's dedupe in the purest sense. Secondly, it is included with TSM Extended Edition. There is no extra additional licensing needed. Third, yes, we bought Diligent. Yes, we have an additional dedupe solution available for customers who want to implement VTL and maybe utilize that virtual tape library for other applications as well. And finally, TSM's dedupe will dedupe any data that is given, any data that's stored in that disk storage pool of dev type file. So any backup email, backups, BMR data, whatever you're putting in that disk storage pool is candidate for dedupe, whether or not it was backed up yesterday or 6 months ago. Doesn't matter. Okay, and finally, TSM dedupe strategy won't get good results. Once again, this is not true. We have to step back, though, on this one because, remember, first of all, TSM has been very good about reducing the amount of data it sent ever since TSM was conceived 15 years ago. With our progressive backup, we don't send a lot of redundant data to the TSM server. Our competitors, on the other hand, are doing weekly fulls, which send a lot of wasteful, redundant data. So when we look at the dedupe numbers that you know, companies like Avamar will claim 500-to-1 dedupe. Yeah, if you're doing full backups every day, darn right you'll have 500-to-1 dedupe ratio. And so when we're looking at publishing our dedupes, we're trying to get some comparisons that work with what these other competitors are claiming. So doing full backups, which is not normal for TSM, and looking at the different dedupe ratios that are out there. So you will see us come out with a number. And what you really need to explain to your customers is that TSM has already reduced the amount of data being sent across, and thus you'll never see these outrageous 500-to-1 ratios because we've already been very frugal and very prudent in how we're managing data. Okay, so with that, what I would like you all to do is, first of all, take the time to talk to your customers about what's coming in TSM 6. If you're not talking to them, then you know the competition's out there spreading fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Especially if your customers have multiple TSM servers they're going to have to upgrade, you know, this is a great time to show them how TSM 6 is really going to scale well, the performance enhancements, the dedupe features, the NDMP support we've got out there. Make sure customers know this is an upgrade. This is not a rip and replace. And I will put portions, we'll post portions of this presentation out there so you can start talking to them about the different upgrade methodologies and some of the things they'll need to consider. Okay, we're going to have a lot of new Tivoli talks and the roadshow coming up, so make sure you yourself are getting educated. Just look for that information coming across in our alerts. And finally, encourage your customers to come to Pulse, because at Pulse we're going to have a lot of classes on TSM 6 as well as actual labs that the customers will be able to participate in. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and open it up for questions. We've got a whole panel standing by. We've got Colin Dawson, who is the lead developer on this. We've got Sydney White from Education, myself, Danita Morrison from Enablement, as well as some people from Product Management on.
Thank you, Ms. Zhang. For our telephone audience, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Once again, that is star or asterisk 1 on your telephone at this time. If you're using a speakerphone, please ensure that the mute function has been turned off or that you pick up a handset to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 to queue for a question, and we will pause for a moment to assemble our queue. Again, if you have a question or a comment, please signal by pressing star or asterisk 1. And we'll take our first question from Robert. Robert, your line is open.
Okay, I'm not sure if that's me or another Robert. Just a question in terms of what are you looking at in terms of the database overhead for dedupe? Are we talking much there? Obviously, we're tracking more information there at some level.
In terms of the footprint needed to track the dedupe stuff or the processing time to actually do the deduplication processing?
I was thinking database space, but how about both?
Well, to speak about database space, first off, it's worth noting that moving to version 6 from where we're at previously, with the database compression and other stuff that DB2 brings, we're looking kind of comparable in terms of estimating size and capacity and such. The additional space needed for a dedupe storage pool is probably on the order of maybe 100 bytes or a couple hundred bytes per object kind of thing, because it really just gets down to we have to then track the data chunks, and once we have the data chunk identified, it's just maintaining counters and some additional pointers to who's got access to that chunk and needs it and such. So we're not seeing a really huge burden or overhead in order to do that. The server-side processing that actually does the deduplication, we've got a background process that runs that shows up in query process. It's called an identify process. It's obviously going to be pretty database intensive because it's a lot of database lookups as well as lookups against the storage pool itself. So we are seeing CPU consumption with that. So, the customers are going to need to do some planning in terms of you don't necessarily want your identify process running when you're doing your big nightly backup, but the same is true of expiration and other back-end processing as well. In tests, for instance, we are seeing tests run with expiration and dedupe running in parallel or together and such. So some of that's really going to be limited or mitigated in terms of how much horsepower is available on a machine in terms of CPU that's available and that kind of stuff. If they're CPU constrained, then a lot of care is going to need to be done in terms of planning the deduplication, identify processing, kind of serially and not in parallel with other big database operations. If there's a lot of bandwidth available on the machine, then it's probably not going to be a significant issue.
Thanks.
Once again, if you have a question or a comment that you wish to have addressed, please signal by pressing star or asterisk 1. One final reminder, if you have a question or a comment, please press star 1 at this time. And it does appear we have no further questions. I'd like to turn it back to Ms. Zhang for closing remarks.
Okay, well, thanks, everyone, for taking the time to join the call. Everybody's really excited about all the great features and functions coming out, and I think we do have a lot to be excited about. I think this is really going to get a lot of publicity and give our customers a lot more functionality and return on their investment. Thanks again.
And that does conclude today's presentation. We do thank you for your participation and ask that you enjoy the remainder of your day.